They keep the mice in a lower level of the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, well below the series of labs upstairs where dozens of researchers are looking for ways to stop Alzheimer's disease.
You definitely smell the smell of mouse housing. And you can see here we have people that are doing surgery on mice to be able to put different substances in their veins or their arteries.
That's Dr. David Holtzman, the chairman of the neurology department.
Just from my lab, not other labs, we have 1,200 cages of mice. Each cage averages about 3, so that means we have about 3,500 to 4,000 mice that we're studying right now.
If or when a preventative or cure for Alzheimer's disease is found, these mice, or ones very similar, will deserve a lot of the credit. While animals don't naturally get Alzheimer's disease, these mice have been genetically modified to create changes in their brains, much like what the human brain experiences when it's hobbled by Alzheimer's.
And since the genes in mice are very, very similar to what they are in humans, you can often get mimic disease aspects much better rapidly.
Washington University researchers were the first to use a technique called microdialysis to measure the amounts of Alzheimer's-related proteins in the brains of mice. Proteins are important molecules in our bodies, and some of them are involved in Alzheimer's disease, including amyloid, which globs together into brain plaques. To take measurements of brain fluids, researchers put the mice to sleep and surgically implant tiny probes and tubes into their brains. Then, the mice wake up, they walk around, seemingly unaffected, and they live in this space that looks like a large salad bowl.
What we do is this little apparatus here is hooked up to the head of a mouse so that as the mouse walks around, this bowl will turn with the mouse so that the tubing that's coming up into the fraction collector won't get tangled.
In a living brain, in real time, researchers measure such things as if drugs work to clear away amyloid or limit its production.
You can assess the blood, you can assess the tissues. You can't always do that as easily in a person, for example. You can test things that might be toxic before and figure out if they're bad or good.
Dr. Neil Buchholz is the director of the Division of Neuroscience at the National Institutes of Health, which funds projects related to transgenic mice and other science geared towards finding a cure, such as new brain scans and better chemicals to see the disease under microscope. New drugs are needed, as are well-screened volunteers to test them. It's all critical, Buchholz says, just like the rodents.
The mice are important because you can put various genes in the mice. That's how they become what we call transgenic. So you can look at what happens in the brain as these plaques develop, basically assess whether there are interventions, various kinds of drugs or other kinds of interventions that may reduce the number of plaques and the amount of beta amyloid in the brain to give you at least clues for what may be effective in human beings.
When it comes to finding those drugs or interventions, Washington University in St. Louis is one of the nation's most productive Alzheimer's labs and a top recipient of the NIH's limited research dollars. And much of the money is related to projects associated with this room, where Dr. Holtzman raises his voice to be heard over the hum of 20 large freezers, each one set at minus 80 degrees Celsius to keep chilled thousands upon thousands of samples.
This is our equipment room where we store not only samples from animals, we store all of the cerebrospinal fluid and plasma from our human studies on Alzheimer's disease, where we're collecting longitudinal samples from cerebrospinal fluid plasma in both cognitively normal people as they're aging, as well as people with Alzheimer's disease. And all of the DIAN network samples, so dominantly inherited Alzheimer network samples, are stored in these freezers. So these are from all over the world, Australia, Europe, England, US, all of them are here.
DIAN Project researchers track people whose genetics indicate that they'll develop Alzheimer's in their 30s, 40s, or 50s. The gene is inherited, so it's called familial Alzheimer's, or early onset. A parent has a 50% chance of passing along the genetics for this. If someone tests positive for the gene mutations, they almost always develop symptoms at the same age as their parents. It's very sad. But ironically, to know exactly when a disease will show its symptoms could help researchers find a cure. Volunteers in the DIAN network test new drug therapies designed to prevent or slow down the disease. Also stored in this room are samples from what's called the Alzheimer's Prevention Initiative. While Diane is a worldwide effort, the Alzheimer's Prevention Initiative focuses on a specific group of people living in Colombia.
They're looking at individuals all who have the same mutation, who all came from an initial founder, I think in the 1600s, that had moved from or had come from Spain and introduced this mutation into the people who lived in the country of Colombia at the time. And now there are thousands of people with this mutation that are being studied and also being in a treatment trial with a drug called crenuzumab.
There are teams of researchers working on various Alzheimer's projects at Washington University. In Holtzman's case, he began studying the genetics involved in common Alzheimer's, or late onset, back in the 1980s. In addition to working with patients in the clinic, he's one of the field's most prolific publishers, writing dozens of seminal papers about everything from the genes involved to new advancements in clearing the Alzheimer's-related proteins from the brain. Holtzman also lost his father to Alzheimer's 3 years ago.
It just makes you think about it every day when you're going to work. It's not like some obscure problem. I mean, you really see day to day that it causes somebody to be whoever they were, to basically lose their human identity.
Holtzman says he's bewildered by the lack of investment in Alzheimer's disease, especially when considering that recent statistics show if no new therapies are found to delay or prevent it, the number of people with Alzheimer's will triple in the next 34 years. For WCAI, I'm Sean Corcoran in St. Louis.